Welcome to the Empowered Embodiment Podcast. I am your host, Robin LaCombra. In this podcast, we explore all the feels in their full spectrum. Movements, both physical and social. Creativity, advocacy, belief systems, ambition, community care. Creating cultures of compassion where more folks feel like they truly belong. So thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being down to do the work. Let's do this. Hello and welcome to Empowered Embodiment. My name is Robin and I am here with friend, colleague, teacher, inspiration, Dana Reagan. I was in a course that Dana created, the Somatic Soul Coaching Method, last year, and it changed my life. So it is an utmost honor, the utmost honor of mine to have Dana on the podcast for a conversation. Welcome, Dana. How are you?
Hi, Robin. It's so good to be here. And thank you so much for inviting me. Really inspired by you and inspired by this podcast, all of the different voices and perspectives that you're uplifting. So
thank you. Yeah, thank you for saying that. And I'm excited to have you on. How about you introduce yourself to the people? Who are you? What do you do? What's your deal?
So I'm Dana Raquel Reagan. And I am the founder and director of Somatic Soul Coach School, Somatic Soul Coach Methodology. I have been a somatic nerd and practitioner for over a decade. I've also been a somatic soul coach, I'll name it and claim it, for a decade as well. And have worked with hundreds of people who are really inspired to liberate. And actually, Liberate was the name of my first company. And then that transferred over to Somatic Soul Coaching School. What else? I'm a cat lover and a cat mama, and I might be getting a kitten that just last 24 hours. He's so cute. So that's really lifting me up these days. And I really love helping people access their body's wisdom, reclaim their body, even the parts of themselves that they don't love or like. And I am, in the process right now of, honestly, I'm in the process of resisting a very needed sabbatical. I'm in the process of managing quite a bit of pain, physical, somatic, emotional pain that's manifesting in my body. And you know, it's like, I always kind of take this approach of, somehow my soul signed up for this, somehow my soul signed up for being in a body that's giving me a lot of learning, and I'm leaning into that, and I'm currently very much so leaning into that today. So that is a little bit about me.
Ooh, thank you for that intro. There's so much that I want to pick up from there. But first, let's describe and maybe define for folks who aren't familiar with somatic work or what somatics mean. Can you take some time to describe how you define somatic work and why it's important to you?
Totally. So yeah, I want, one day I envision a world where we all get to, where the word somatic is not exclusive, but it's understood, but also you can say body. But somatics, soma in Greek is the root word for body mind, is the way I like to describe it, or the living organism in its wholeness. So it's kind of like we, in the word or the root soma, describes the entity of the living body in its wholeness. And I think that that's a really beautiful way of getting to put it. Somatic psychology, which I forgot to say, I am a graduate of Naropa University's somatic psychology program, which is really what I studied out in Boulder, Colorado. It's what I've been studying intently over the last decade and love geeking out on. But somatic psychology is the study of the body-mind connection. So when we're really talking about somatics in somatic soul coaching methodology, we are supporting the fullness of our client's nervous system to be expressed in all the ways that it wants to express and all the ways that it's been oppressed. We're welcoming that entire soma or the body of our clients and ourselves to the table. So yeah, somatic soul coaching methodology supports us to rewire our nervous systems for greater liberation, for greater freedom, for play, for pleasure, and capacity for resilience.
Yes. Hearing you speak brings me back to the orientation of training a year ago, or I guess over a year ago now, and the way that you talk about liberation and oppression within the body really hooked me because of my work in anti-oppression and trying to serve that work in community and doing that parallel to teaching Pilates and yoga and movement. When you described growing aware of how the different things that we privilege and oppress within our experience within our body, it was like a light bulb moment for me, where I always knew that what I led on the mat or how I moved on the mat directly correlated to how I show up in the world. But when I heard you say that, like the liberation of our body and the privilege and oppression that we do to ourselves in our body, it made that link so clear. Like, oh yeah, like this needs to happen inside us in order for us to be more effective of liberation outside of us. Like our self or personal liberation is tied to our societal liberation, our community collective liberation. So yeah, I just wanted to name that because that was such a big deal for me. When it's like, yes, this is the program that I need to be in. And I felt so equipped with vocab and language as I continued to learn with you to help folks access that awareness that, you know, showing up to your practice, your movement practice, isn't in vain if we put on that lens of what are we discovering here? What habits are we unpacking? What do you need to liberate? How have you been oppressing yourself? Because that will tie into how you've been projecting that outside of yourself. And we have that choice. Like that was a major thing that I took away from learning with you is we have agency. There's so much that we think that we don't have agency over, but in reality, there's so much that we still do have agency over. And so can we grow aware of where we are active agents and then seize our empowerment over that?
Yes. Yes. I'm so like hanging on to all your words because they're so, I'm such a deep feeler and so sensitive. And as you're speaking, it's almost like I'm losing the content, but I'm feeling it in my body and I'm feeling, what I'm feeling is what you're describing, which is, wow, right. You know, because I am radically human and I forget the tools all the time, even though I have them. And even though I've created a lot of them and supported others to have them as well. But what I'm remembering right now is the importance of taking time to check in side with our embodied dialogue. We are agents in our own oppression or agents of our own liberation.
Yes, yes, yes. We are agents of our own oppression or agents of our own liberation. I was just talking about this in the Sharing Privilege course call that I had with someone earlier today before this podcast. And it was like, you can't control, we can't control how people respond to us or how people receive us or how people react to our words, actions, beliefs, behaviors, etc. But we can control how we speak to ourselves, how we receive ourselves, how we manage our emotions. Yeah, can we grow aware of that? Can we grow aware of that so that we can be active agents in our own liberation rather than mindless agents of our own oppression?
Yeah. I mean, I wonder if we can control that. I'm wondering about that. I certainly believe that having the faculties to be able to strengthen our self-awareness and our somatic awareness, because that requires all of the work that we're talking about, to even be able to question ways in which I'm an agent of my own liberation or an agent of my own oppression, really speaks to that I have some sort of foundational level of health available. Mm-hmm. To even be able to ask that question.
Ooh, yes. Yeah, that's such a big point. That the ability, the space to work on our emotional, mental, or somatic management is a privilege.
And that, yeah, kind of just like uplifting that for everyone who's listening, and just for us, right? Like for me, even like just, yeah, that uplifting, like, wow, what a privilege to be able to even ask those questions. And then if you get to do that, or if you're choosing to do that, or wherever you're at in that journey, utilizing your privilege wisely by being really honest and starting to really add in more seeds of liberation than more seeds of suffering or oppression from the inside out. And I really love that somatic soul coaching, a lot of the feedback that I get from the students and clients, and that you're speaking to now, Robin, is it's like an inside out method. It's an inside out, outside in. It's a bottom up approach. It's from the body up, right? Versus a top down approach. And I love that, how that inside out experience gets to be brought to our communities, our family, our friends, gets to be brought to the table, or the way that you're describing, developing that somatic internal awareness while you're on the mat. I don't know. That's something that's always a light bulb moment for me too, because there's a lot of inner interoceptive work that we're doing by attuning to and attending to our somatic cues, our sensorial body, our emotional landscape, and ultimately what I call the somatic weather report. It's just, there's this external weather going on, and right now in the world, a lot of the external weather, and I'm speaking from the location, I'm in Hudson Valley, New York, I'm in the United States, but just a lot of the climate, if you will, can feel really stormy and choppy and chaotic. And I think it's so important to tune back into your somatic weather report, even if it's just for a few minutes, and noticing how your body is showing up for you today and how are you showing up for it?
I love this. I think this is such an important practice or tool or activity that folks try and integrate as frequently as they can remember. So can you lay that out for folks who maybe don't already have an existing meditation practice or movement practice or practice of reflection? What are easy ways, and I say easy with air quotes, what are ways that folks can tap into their weather report? Like what does that look like? What does taking your internal weather report look like?
Totally. So, you know, at SSC, which stands for Somatic Soul Coaching, for those listening, which is easier to say SSC, we also call this quote unquote activity somatic weather report, a pulse check-in, and this is, or a somatic pulse check-in. And this is really how we start sessions with ourselves as coaches, because it's a coach training program. So I speak a lot to how we work with our clients and then how we start sessions with our clients. And, you know, sort of myth busting, it doesn't have to look any certain way or feel any certain way. And that's what I love about this practice. It's very liberating. But first, I think just to describe it, finding your body in some sort of comfortable position. So not having to mimic any kind of, you know, meditation pose or anything like that. You could be lying down, you could be standing up, you could be moving, however you want to take a posture, but take the posture and start to take a few breaths, encouraging long exhales. So I guess we can all just take one together right now. So just a deep breath in and a really long exhale. Maybe one more, finding a little bit of like audibility, sighing it out. So inhale. And exhale, release. And begin to turn your attention onto yourself. Tuning your awareness onto and then into your body. And then beginning to drop beneath the story, the storylines, whatever's happened today, whatever's going to happen. And fully with curiosity, with compassion, welcoming what is present inside. So perhaps there's a sensation, maybe there's tingling, maybe there's swirling, and just identify, just simply feeling it. Actually, you don't even have to label it, just feel it. Just, tingling in my chest or swirling in my belly. And then notice maybe there's color. Maybe there's purple, blue, whatever color comes. Maybe no color comes. Welcoming that. And perhaps there's a word or a phrase or the sound of music or rhythm in some way. And as you're collecting the data from the inside, touch on two points. You know, maybe there's swirling in the heart and blue down my right leg or my yellow in my left toe. And just as you start to resurface back up to this moment, collecting that data, bringing that with you to share with yourself
to share with your coach, to share with whomever you're sharing this with, or again, could just be a very personal, intimate practice. And not needing to make any sense about it. Just taking your weather report inside. And that, I don't know, that was maybe just a couple of minutes. And so that's building your capacity for somatic awareness. You're by doing that, you're strengthening your interoception. You're strengthening your ability to tune inside to Robin, to Dana, to your weather, and not making a judgment about it. And that really is the practice. And I think it's a simple practice that we can utilize to reorient ourselves no matter the weather outside.
Yes. Yes, thank you. I think that's so important. My follow-up question to that pulse check was going to be like, why is this important? Why do people need to do this? And I mean, I know why, but I love that you named it out there. It's that we can center ourselves in our own weather report, regardless of what might be happening out there.
Yeah, and it's a chance for us to take a few moments off of judging our experience of self or experience of sensation. It's just like, here is my experience inside of myself, and it's valid and it will change. And it's up to me to utilize my tools, my privilege, my faculties to be able to strengthen my somatic awareness. Because when I'm more in touch with my body, with myself, with my somatic cues, I'm more emotionally available, right? Mm. Or I'm more in touch with the fact that I'm not emotionally available. And both are so important to go, okay, I'm saying yes to myself, whether I like it or not, right? You don't have to love your sensation. Me going into my body just now was like, okay, let's find the color, because I don't want to feel this pain of sensation that's happening in my low back and fire shooting down my left leg. But I found a color, and that was some data that I was able to bring up. And it's what I call like a somatic anchor point, something that kind of elucidated some information for me. Also kind of a little, it doesn't have to, but a little bit of pleasure in my blue teal color, and a way in which I can kind of resource and come back to myself throughout the day is because I might have, you know, a good thing to do is start your day off like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is so great. In naming that, like, I love that you named that maybe you'll realize what emotional capacity you do have or don't have. And that kind of awareness is so important, because then you can have compassion in all the directions. Like, if you have more emotional capacity, then you can, you know, receive compassionately from others more, and hold space for maybe their lack of emotional capacity in that moment, and maybe, you know, unskillful communication or whatever. And then the flip, if you recognize in your weather report that you don't get it, then you can have compassion for yourself and set boundaries where you need to set boundaries. Yeah, so it's like this more skillful, graceful way of being in the world when we honor what our capacity is, what we're carrying, what space we have, what we can manage. And if we can't manage to be in the sensation, but can manage to be with the color, then like, yay, you found an anchor.
Yeah. I love that. I'm remembering to find my own somatic anchors. And so thank you for that as well.
Yeah.
And I do think that, you know, just want to uplift something that's so important is compassion and curiosity. Compassion and curiosity, compassion and curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is a way to start to farm you know, seeds or really, really drive routes in your nervous system that lead to greater states of liberation is to have, to cultivate, to choose compassion and curiosity.
Yes. I'm so about this. I'm so about this life. Yeah. So much more is possible. So much more is possible. And you named it, like, liberation is possible when we all actively cultivate compassion and curiosity. Liberation is possible within us and without us. If we can farm those seeds. Thank you for that language. So beautiful. Mm. I'm curious. I know a little bit about you. When we were catching up before the podcast, you named that you have chronic pain and you're of mixed race. I wonder how your experience, your upbringing, led you to create this method. Like, how have you resourced your experience to create this method that has gone to serve hundreds of people in their own liberation?
Yeah, that's such a great question. I'm a white passing biracial woman. I identify as Latina on the roots of my mother's side. And then my father's side is Irish, German, grew up in a very working class family and came out as a, like, from day, I remember being like 2 years old and being like, I remember being like, fuck, I've been here before. I don't know if I can curse on this podcast, but
you can.
I was like, fuck, I got to do this shit again. And, you know, like in astrology, I'm a Pisces and I identify strongly with that. And, and I guess what I mean by that is, you know, for anyone listening, if you identify strongly or not, it doesn't matter. But for me, it was like, oh, this is my last freaking lifetime. And I remember feeling that, at 2 years old.
Wow.
And I was like a spitfire and I was very sensitive, always very sensitive, deep feeler and a fighter. Like my nervous system, the way that I responded to different situations of trauma growing up, because there was a lot of that and being carried through the lineage and then also physically manifesting in real life. You know, my response to trauma growing up was, I'm going to fight this shit. I'm going to go into fight or flight. And I still am there. I'm still dismantling that within my own nervous system now. But I think that growing up mixed race with a really passionate, fiery parents, if you will, who in a lot of ways, and this is like a totally separate conversation, I feel like, just because it would take hours. And and I've been also writing. I grew up in the theater. So I grew up in the arts. And that's really how I channeled the contradictions and the paradoxes of being a white passing person of color who you know, grew up in a very mixed household, and everything was kind of mixed up. It was like my parents had different viewpoints, and I didn't know what to feel or believe a lot of the time. And so I just like really forged away. And the way that I forged was my outlet was through creativity and through the body. So like always being creative and a singer and a dancer and into somatics without knowing that word when I was growing up, but just expression was my way. And I think that all of those lived experiences, particularly growing up in a household where I was invited from day one into having to embrace a lot of discomfort and having to find ways to tolerate or to grow my tolerance to sit with the paradox, because the paradox in my upbringing was real. And I think all of that has led me into, you know, somatic leadership and into a body that gets to experience privilege and oppression, you know, that is dismantling that. But I think all of that to be said, as I'm like processing this through talking, such a great question, how has that led me to create somatic soul coaching methodology, is that I just keep showing up to live life off the binary, to live life with more paradox, and to embrace contradictions, and to sit in the freaking fire that is with a lot of compassion, or I'm learning how to be even more compassionate with the fire, but to sit in the fire with compassion, to be able to transform. And in that, you know, I think that you can't have an embodied transformation without fire and without being able to be with the fire and to be with the grace.
Mm.
So I grew up in a family with a lot of tension. As mixed race, I feel really mixed up. Mm. And I think I bring all of that to the table in through the teachings that really speak to, like, one of our principles at Somatic Soul Coaching School is radical welcoming. And to me, what that means is, am I willing to welcome all parts of myself, not just the parts of myself that I like, but also the parts of myself that have been marginalized, that have been unwelcomed by me?
Hmm. Radical welcoming, I think, is my favorite of the four pillars in SSC. It was, I think, the most, I come back to that one all the time, because I definitely am a control freak and I need things to be just so, or I want to feel like I've got it under control. The radical welcoming piece has allowed me to soften that and redirect energy in more productive is the word that's coming, but I don't think that's the right word, but in more productive ways, in more forward moving ways. Mm-hmm. And the radical welcoming, even though it's hard, especially the parts of me that I do want to resist or that I want to be in denial about, parts of me or parts of my experience, when I move past the denial and into the radical welcoming, then ease is present. Even if it's uncomfortable, it's easier than the resisting, almost. Not easier, but it flows. Yeah, so I really resonate so strongly with the radical welcoming.
Yeah, I'm so glad that I forgot about radical welcoming the other day. And it was just like, I was talking to Kayla, one of our friends and colleagues faculty at the school, and one of my best friends. Anyway, and I was like, oh my God, I totally forgot to welcome. I was like, what am I forgetting here? That just, it just felt like I kept meeting a wall and meeting a wall and meeting a wall, and radical welcoming was a really beautiful way to go, I don't like this. I don't like this at all. I don't like this feeling. I don't love it. Am I willing to welcome it? And not, just like you said, it's not easy, but there's ease.
Oh, so good. Well, since we're on the topic of the four pillars, radical welcoming being one, we've already described it. How about you describe the other three? Yeah.
Really cool. So the four pillars are radical welcoming, radical well-being, radical honesty, and radical accountability. And these are, you know, these are four pillars that we can use in our life I kind of like to think about them as a compass or pillars of like a foundation for us to live by. And then also with our clients, we use these pillars. And so radical welcoming, to me, it's like welcoming all parts of yourself, not just the parts that you like, or welcoming the unwelcomed as well.
Mm.
And then radical honesty, which I also love-hate relationship with, because that means if I'm going to get honest, I'm willing to start to see life a little bit more clearly, meaning I'm willing to not move into fear, fantasy, distortion, or denial. And getting really honest is essential to building a relationship with ourselves and with our bodies that bodes trust. That's really important. If we can't get honest, if we really can't get honest or where we're hiding or where we're lying or all of those things, even towards ourselves, like there's got to be a moment to say, I'm willing to look in the mirror here.
Mm-hmm.
And I also do want to say, if you are coping and lying and hiding, great, welcome that. Like, totally fucking welcome that. The thing about radical honesty is that you're just willing to say, yeah, I'm fucking lying, or yes, I'm hiding here, or like, and it's still okay to be myself. I'm still in process. I'm still becoming and unbecoming. And I think that illuminates a lot of safety and a lot of trust into our bodies, into our nervous system. So yay for honesty or recovering liars.
Recovering liars, I love that.
I'm a total recovering liar. I mean, I used to just exaggerate. 2012, that was my New Year's resolution, was to give up lying, because I just would just like tell, I'm a storyteller. And I love to be on this, you know, I was grew up like performing and all of that. So letting go of the performer was so sad. And now I just get to do it in other ways, not lie, but have fun by getting more and more honest. Anyway, so what's the next one? So radical well-being at SSC really speaks to the pillar of health. And by health, I mean immune boosting practices. I mean, taking inventory of your nervous system, taking inventory of your literally all of the things that support health, play, pleasure, downtime, connecting time. I'm thinking about the Healthy Mind Platter by Dr. Daniel Siegel as a tool that we use to kind of look at our well-being. And I think what separates Somatic Soul Coach School from a lot of other practices in the coaching world is that we really take into consideration our nervous system's health from the foundational level to the very advanced levels, and our clients' health, and not bypassing that. And I really want to make this point of like health, especially now, or radical well-being, it's so important to not be in denial about it.
Mm.
And start showing up for it, and in doing it in small ways, and going back to the basics and letting the basics be enough. So, you know, I love to always say like hydration and sleep are questions that I not only ask myself, but I ask my clients, I ask my friends. I am curious about how are you sleeping and how are you hydrating? Because those are going to be two important doorways into being able to even freaking do a pulse check-in, even do a somatic weather report, even do anything. And then finally, radical accountability, which, you know, to me is really freaking important. I, you know, I'm not sure if I want to call it radical responsibility, but holding ourselves accountable to taking care of ourselves, to meaning holding yourself accountable to radical well-being, to your radical well-being, holding yourself accountable to the ways in which you're talking to yourself. Are you, you know, farming seeds of liberation? Are you farming seeds of greater oppression and suppression inside, and not beating yourself up about it, but taking accountability that you can learn to sit in the driver's seat of your own life? You can do that. You can foster greater agency step by step, breath by breath. You can do that. And as you do that, you actually want to actually get more honest. You by doing that, you create more health, more safety, more connection, more trust. And, you know, I think that without the accountability, without the follow through, you know, it's just a little bit more of a flimsy dance. But with the follow through, there's like, yo, I'm in this, I'm here, I'm accountable. And like, I think you did this, Robin, like you're doing so much these days. It's so amazing, inspiring, but something about just like fucking up, you did something like that or.
Yeah. There was a panel that was about embracing the fuck ups. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so, yes, to me, like all my clients who I work with or students or myself, I'm like, you're radically human. You are radically human. And I think that accountability does not mean perfection at all. It means I'm in process. It means I am human, and it means I am learning to show up to my own integrity, my own actions, my own beliefs, my own thoughts, my own behaviors. Like I'm learning to do that. So I'm not going to do that right, but these are pillars that can support me in starting to build and strengthen a foundation of trust and connection within myself and certainly within others.
Yes. Oh, I love all of that. The accountability piece is such a big one too. And I love how you named that, that we can take accountability either way of like whether we're doing the thing or not doing the thing, but can we name whatever it is that we're doing? And when that awareness comes, then we can foster that agency of moving forward in a more intentional, directed way rather than moving forward just in reaction to whatever's happening at us. But when you can look at what's there, then you can work with what's there and you can decide whether to keep it, whether to like farm that seed and water that seed, or whether to like dig it up and start with something new. And the holding space for failure is such a good one. I was on a coaching call earlier today and the client was talking about their fear of failure. And I was like, oh, well, what's possible when you just allow it? What's possible when you budget in the potential for failure? Historically, what has failure done to you? And then they had this really incredible breakthrough where they recognized like through the pain, like, yes, the pain is present when failure happens, but every time they fail, they become more of themselves. They're like, I become more whole. Every time I fail, I've become more whole, more me. And I found that such a beautiful statement. Like that right there is the holding space for the paradox of like, yeah, through this pain or through the disappointment or the shame or the guilt or la la la, on the other side of that, you discover, uncover more of yourself.
Yeah, I love that. And that's to me that's vulnerability, and that's really brave. Brave to be ourselves. Really courageous to show up in our truth. And it's really courageous to say, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that all of that, like, so I love this, you know, and for anyone who's listening, and all of these are reminders for myself, but that there's this sense of like, okay, yeah, in my fuck up or in my mistake or in my pain or in these things that maybe feel like if I was living on the binary, like wrong, right, wrong, good, bad, this, that, the other thing. And if I can move myself from living on right, wrong, good, bad, binary polarity living and embrace the full spectrum of my humanity, of all the flavors that, and all of the weather reports that, you know, to kind of tie it back in as we, I think, moving into a close here, but like all the weather reports that are moving through your body every day. I mean, if we, you know, if you checked in on the weather every minute, like there'd be a lot of changes. But to check in and embrace that weather without naming it good, bad, right, or wrong, without polarizing it, but embracing the full spectrum, embracing the all the flavors of your humanity, including the ones in which you're like, huh, how can I do that better? How can I do that more skillfully? Or, you know, or I'm sorry. Or wow, interesting. I don't know why I said that or did that. And I'm, can I have some space to be in the inquiry? Can I, you know, like this is what I call embodied relationship. Having a relationship with my nervous system and then having that nervous system speak to the other nervous system, having those nervous systems get to be different, get to hold difference, get to hold different lived experiences, get to hold different reactions and different responses without labeling or judging this person or myself as, you know, I think through the eyes of a perfectionist or something like that, or like the perfectionist inside or the control freak inside, where it's just like, oh my gosh, why did you say it that way? And it's just like, okay, great. All of this is freaking welcomed. I'm pissed. I'm angry. I'm mad. I'm sad. I'm loved. I'm angry and joyful at the same time, whatever those experiences are, and letting yourself live it, letting yourself be radically human, knowing that you are developing the capacity to find home inside, even little by little. And as you find home or trust or love or a little joy or a little new sensation or a big sensation inside, being able to be within yourself and in relationship at the same time is such, it's like, that's where we're, that's the vision.
Mm-hmm.
Can I be here? Can I be, you know, inside of me, all of me, and also be in relationship with all of you?
Oosh. I have tingles all over my body hearing that. That's, yeah, that definitely is the vision, hey? And that's the compassion and curiosity piece. I really love the naming of, can my nervous system talk to that nervous system and hold space for each other and ourselves simultaneously and not let our truths compete with each other? Like, your truth is still your truth, and that person's truth of their experience is still their truth. And rather than trying to colonize the other person's truth and let your truth be the one that wins and the one that is on top, can we be parallel? Can our truths run parallel? And can we hold space for each other's truth of our experience, the truth of that person's present moment nervous system manifestation, the truth of my present nervous system's manifestation, and how we communicated things either gracefully or unskillfully, whatever, and just keep it moving forward with all of the four pillars, the welcoming, the well-being, the responsibility or accountability.
You know, what's the other one?
What's the other one?
Honesty, welcoming, well-being.
Honesty, yeah. The honesty.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, fuck all the bullshit and let yourself be human. Let yourself be in process. Let yourself become and let yourself unbecome. And that's you know, I'm just kind of flippantly saying that, but I think it's kind of true. We gotta also learn to have some play with it all, you know.
Oh, this is so good. I love hearing you speak. I learn so much from you every time we're in conversation, and my body feels more and more at home every time we're in conversation. And I'm just so grateful to have met you when I did and to have learned with you when I did, because it really has equipped me for this pandemic and just advancing my awareness and my ability to be mindfully in relationship and in embodied relationship with others. So I'm forever so grateful to be in orbit with you.
Well, Robin graduated in like the day the pandemic started. So I was like, and they trained for a whole year and 500 hours worth of training. And it was just like, you know what? There you go.
There it is.
Something was up before all this went down. And Robin, you know, the feeling is mutual. I am so inspired by your courage and your bravery to continue to show up and to learn and unlearn and be yourself and share and be radically human. So I am deeply honored, super grateful. And I really mean this when I say, knowing that you're on the planet right now, knowing that we're on the planet at the same time right now, gives me hope for the liberatory vision that I hold for the future and that I get to cultivate alongside you now. So I just really, you give me a lot of hope.
Thank you, Dana. I love the reciprocal love. I agree. I'm here. Let's build it. Let's make it. Let's farm it. Let's go.
Let's go. Yeah. Anyone who's wondering about Somatic Soul Coaching School, we're in a purposeful pause. We've stepped back and to just kind of, for me to take care of myself, which is radical honesty and responsibility right there. Mm-hmm. You know, to let go of the timeline of when it's best for us to deliver or offer or be in community at the capacity that Somatic Soul Coaching requires us to be in community. It's so important for us to show up resourced and restored. So 2021 is looking like, just all I can say, it's looking like a different year. I don't know what's going to happen, but something will.
Something always does.
Yeah.
And so how can folks keep up to date with you and also respecting your sabbatical? How can folks just stay in the know? Is there a mailing list? Do you want to share your social media?
Totally. So you can sign up for, like, the easiest way to put in your email, which is the easiest way for us to communicate, would be to go to somaticsoulcoachschool.com, very long. and we are not super active on social media, but we would love to get to know you over there as well, which is our handle for Instagram is Somatic Soul Coach School. And what I can say is that soon, I don't know what that means, but soon, within the next, you know, my goal is before the end of the year, might be December, that I get to take a moment and meet everyone who is interested in really taking their somatic journey to the next level, whatever that means. So just, like, stay tuned, but I also would love to get to know you through those avenues. So you can find us there.
Perfect. Thanks, Dana. And I know you gave us a little taste of it earlier in the middle of the podcast, but I always end these podcasts with a clearing, cleansing pulse check or closing meditation. So I was hoping that you could guide us out.
Yeah, I'd love to. So wherever you're at right now, just begin to find yourself in this time and space that you find yourself in. And take a deep breath and a long sigh. And do that one more time. Deep breath in all the way down to the fingers and toes, to the endpoints. And exhale, release. And tune back into your body. Take a moment give yourself permission to have ultimate compassion for this body that you are currently in. And then take an extra breath for curiosity, that you get to be curious. And notice what is alive within you now. Perhaps your weather report has shifted or changed. Perhaps it's escalated or more defined. Perhaps it's brand new, different color, different texture, a different feel, perhaps a totally different feel or the same feel. And simply turn your attention towards whatever the experience is inside. And whisper or strongly state, I welcome you. I radically welcome you. I welcome you. Taking one more breath in and a long exhale. My invitation is to take one morning to welcome yourself, to welcome your weather, or an afternoon or an evening. But I think it could be cool to do it first thing in the morning. And then I would love to know, and you could email me or Rob, like what I'd love to know, how did your day feel when you walked around the world welcoming your experience? What maybe shifted, what maybe changed, what did you love, what did you not like? But notice, if I show up to my day from a place of welcoming, and if I show up to my body, my inner experience, and I welcome it, what might be possible? What might happen? And just get curious and compassionate and report back.
Thank you, Dana. And yes, folks, send that email in. I want to know too, and I will share it with Dana.
Yes, I would love to. I'd love to know. Thank you so much, Robin. And I love you. I really, really love you. So thank you.
I really, really love you too. This is the best. Thank you so much for taking this time and generously sharing so much of your wisdom and insight. And I think this is a really great conversation for folks to listen to exactly in this moment of time. So thank you. And thank you to everybody listening. I will put Dana's website and social handle on the show notes. And we'll catch you next time. And don't forget to email us what was possible for you when you welcomed everything.
And if I don't get back to you, I'm on sabbatical, but hey, I want to say.
Yeah. All right. Peace out, folks. Thank you.